I was recently in South Africa. It was an awesome experience, awesome people, awesome culture. But why I only experienced the tourist way, Selim Habi brings us the local guide culture. Selim allows an immersive and almost physical experience of the African identity. Please welcome on stage Selim Habi and Afro Roots.
Hi, you hear me? So first of all, thank you very much to be here. I wasn't expecting so much crowd. So again, give a big applause for yourself. Thank you very, very much to be here. And thank you for the CCC. It's the first time I'm here. I'm really like experiencing something totally new for me. And thank you for the curators. Thank you for really giving me this stage to explore with you further this project, which is Afro Roots. First of all, I want to tell you something which is very personal. The very first time when I was in Africa, in North Africa, I was invited for a ceremony, a ritual in Morocco. The ceremony is a Gnawa. I don't know if you heard about it. So basically, I was surrounded by African descendants, and I knew that those descendants are slaves' descendants that has been transported and displaced from sub-Saharan Africa to Morocco. So this ceremony was pretty powerful for me. And the more I asked question about what is the purpose of this, why are you doing that? I really started to explore the history of Africa through that. So a couple of years after that, I was luckily able to be in Brazil, in Salvador de Bahia. So, and I was also invited to a kind of ceremony called Candomblé. I don't know if some of you heard about it. And the thing is that during the Candomblé ritual, they were explaining me that we do that just to reconnect to the African continent, to reconnect with our ancestors and our history, our slavery history. So between Morocco and Brazil, I knew that my story is there. So Afro Root is born out of this conviction that the displaced culture from Africa crossing the sea to Latin America was a pretty unexplored story. We see it like slavery. Slavery could be a very, very large concept, large idea, very heavy history for the African themselves. And I wanted absolutely to avoid those kind of images that we used to see. I don't know if some of you saw Amistad, the film, and this like classical narratives of blacks being beaten, etc., which is reality. I wanted to go beyond that, and I wanted to explore how those diasporas still connected with their ancestors, and how is the function of music within this ceremony. So basically, Afro Root is born out of this perspective. Second of all, I've been also luckily involved in a great project four years ago, where I explored or I got in touch with a fantastic medium, which is virtual reality. I don't know if some of you tried some VR, but VR was for me a really new exploration of how we can tell story differently. How can we really engage and create another type of connection with stories and have a totally different approach with time and space. This project called The Enemy allows me really to widen my perspective as a storyteller and really go into a totally different path. So I decided to use this medium which is the VR. Not because I'm was like many of actors now in the media field, surfing the hype or whatever. It's cool to have the goggles and say, wow, it's fantastic. It's just because I was deeply convinced that VR is the proper medium for this story. So, virtual reality, I'm not here, the pressure of VR is, it's for me a very powerful medium in the sense of it puts you really in the center of a reality. You don't have to receive data, you don't receive a narrative, you don't receive, you just put into center of a reality and you empower your view somehow to really interpret in a very subjective way what you see and what you feel. In my eyes, it could be also, as I hear, you can see, it could be really the next anthropology tools. And in that sense, it will transform the whole knowledge that we could have one century long into real experiences, which is totally different than just reading a book that someone else wrote it or imagined. So VR is creating powerful memories, because just for the fact that it provides the context of what you are seeing. Please, first of all, take a look about the trailer of AfroRoot, and we talk a little bit after. No sound. It's okay, it happens.
Centuries ago, many Africans were forced to leave their countries. They were spread in different corners of the world. A long, long journey through lands and seas. They left everything behind. They had to leave. They could only keep their language, their culture, and of course, their music. So there is a bigger story than slavery itself. This project is not another apology of slavery. I wanted to look beyond that. What happened after? Where are the slaves' descendants today? What did they produce in terms of cultures? How is their heritage lived and celebrated? Is there any tangible memory form? So I decided to follow the path of the slavery roads, and I knew that music will guide my journey. For many years, I traveled in different countries, met several diasporas, and experienced their well-conserved culture, and of course, their music. No history book could explain slavery and the cultural dynamics within better than being immersed there. This is exactly what AfroRoot's project is about. I'm using virtual reality and 360 videos to take you on a journey to meet those African descendants, to hear their stories, and experience their heritage. Here is my concept. As you start the experience, you will be surrounded by four characters. Simply by choosing one, you will be brought to a destination. The character will tell you his story, will show you his surroundings before bringing you to a specific ritual.
My name is Abdullah Boulkhair El Gour. I am Malam of Gnawa in Tangier, Morocco. I am born in Dar Gnawa, the slave's house. I grew up there.
And that's not all. We want to bring you much closer. At the end, you will be invited to play music with the characters, to feel that physical experience.
Okay, let me, thank you very much. So basically, I decided to go on music in this journey because before drafting the first prototype, by writing the concept of this project, I did a lot of researchers. And one of my biggest hurdles was I wasn't able to find trustful archives. I wasn't able to find really powerful testimonies of what happened exactly. The only archives I could find were somewhere in the Western world, not in Africa, not in African bibliothèques, somehow kind of jailed into Western bibliothèques of big institutions. So for me it was a big problem. And most of this narrative, or the version of this narrative, is basically written by people who enslaved the Africans. So for me it was a big problem. I cannot tell this story from the perspective of Western perspective, which I used, of course, because it gives a lot of data and information. So for me, it was clear, in order to tell this story, I need to go deeper into archives. I need to go really into what we call the meta-archives, which is simply the oral tradition. It's what the people used to say and transmit generation after generation. In this case, music was absolutely what I was looking for. Because if you look at back a little bit of the history, those communities, whatever, through the transatlantic slave trade, trans-Pacific slave trade, or the trans-Saharan slave trade, it's like 400-500 years. But the communities in Brazil, for example, they're still speaking Yoruba, which is the language from Western Coast. The people, the city in India, they're still talking Kiswahili. So it is really powerful how the music could maintain this intangible form in a very intact way. And it's still very, very powerful. So I decided to go absolutely on music and explore this displacement through music. As you can see in this map, I could identify also several diasporas. First of all, in North Africa, which is the Gnawa and the Stambeli communities, which are sub-Saharan African transported through the slavery caravans from the west, from the Sahara to North Africa. You have also the transatlantic slave trade, which is mainly the entry door was Salvador de Bahia. 90% of all slaves transported from the Western coast were proceeded, the entry door was Salvador de Bahia, and from there was they were spread into the whole Caribbean, and from there to the US. So for me, Salvador de Bahia was a key point to explore this. And another very untold story, I'm coming like 3 weeks ago from Gujarat, from India, where I've been able to visit and explore a little bit the other journey, which is the Trans-Pacific, Trans-Pacific journey from the Indian cities, the African descendant from the eastern coast, Zanzibar, and Kenya. So I try to have these three destinations to have a better overview of what those traditions are. So let me explain you shortly what you expect in this experience. So basically, you will have a menu. Three characters will be in front of you. And as I say in the trailer, you just have to pick up one You choose one and you just embark. You don't know where, who is the person, and you don't know where you embark. It's exactly like the slave's condition in that time. So you embark to a destination, and at the end you will discover where is the destination. So, and of course, you will meet three characters. First of all, what you saw in the trailer was a maestro, healer, and Gnawa maestro called Abdul Al-God from Tangier, Morocco. Luzinho Dojeje, which is an organ, a percussionist in a candomblé group in Salvador do Bahia. And Sidi Goma, which is a band in Sidi, in India, African descendant, and performing the what they call Damal, which is a ritual from southern India. Okay, so the experience is quite simple. You get into this menu, you choose a character, and then you have a very linear story, 360 story. Actually, the purpose of that is to have this character trying to define the place, the environment, who he is, and trying to introduce you slowly to his community. And after that, you will be totally in a ceremony and a ritual, and a specific ritual. You could ask me why ritual? What is ritual? Why you choose to put us in the ritual? Personally, I think that a ritual or a ceremony is, in one hand, the pure manifestation of that well-conserved memory, once, and in the other hand, it is a multimedia explosion. You see things, you see colors, you see dance, you listen to music, you just explode in all senses. And in that sense, VR is very powerful to transmit that. Of course, as user, you will be able to stop if you want. But, and this is why how technology is very powerful in this project, you can go further, because the structure of the ritual is basically, the music is going to go a little bit up and up and up. In the ritual, the people go in trance. Why? Because this trance is the way to reconnect with these ancestors. For some people, maybe it's like something really new, but the music frequencies that are produced during a ceremony, whatever with drums, whatever with other instruments, jingles, etc., put them in a situation where they really connect with their ancestor, with their heritage, with the memories. And the challenge of this project was to reproduce this. Me or you or you, you may want to experience that. So what you are doing now basically is we are working on a technical solution, basically an algorithm, which measuring your frequencies and your body movement. If you want to go in trance, you can. If you want to stay in the ritual, you can. The more you stay, the more the music will go up, and more will transport you with them. If it's too much for you, you step back and you go back to the menu. As simple as that. Those are some testimonies, because during this project, as many of you doing project, you have moments when you're doubting. You say, what the fuck are you doing? What's this? Why are you doing that? So what I always do is, like, when I produce the first prototype, I go to the people back and say, look, this is what I'm doing. What do you think? So this maestro of Gnawa told me, this is what I always dreamed about. I knew that I have brothers on the other side. So for me, it's a very powerful testimony that their memory is still gravitating between the sea, and they know that they have parents, family that crossed the borders or crossed the sea, and they are there. So for me, it's very powerful to know that those people understand what is the purpose of this work. And from the other side too. So, in Brazil, I had this crazy testimony where this Mao dos Santos told me, we don't need passport anymore, so we can be everywhere. Lately, in India, Mr. Sabir, which is the lead singer of the CD, told me this is our music there. So for me, all those testimonies show me that this project is on a good path, somehow. And the purpose why I'm doing that is actually, I think beyond music and beyond slavery and etc., this dynamics of displacement, when people move from place to place, they carry on a set of knowledge, set of wisdom with them, and sometimes we think it's going to be lost somehow in the space, but I don't think so. Personally, I think that memory is still alive, always, and music is really powerful to tell us that the memory can be always kept intact. And what I learned also through this project is that through the suffering of being displaced, of being taken somewhere else, they create beauty. Beauty has been created, celebrated, transcended into new identity, which is very beautiful, because if you see the Brazilians, they are now part of Brazil. Despite the whole harsh situation that they're living there, they're still, they adapted to new environment where they are, and it's the same for all displaced cultures from Africa. So, outputs of this project. First of all, we will produce an app which is going to be free to download so that everyone can experience it on very normal basic cardboard, and also a multi-user experience. So, one of my main purpose and of doing this project, so I want to have a kind of social impact through that. I want to explain somehow the slavery in a totally different way. I want to have a kind of educational part of this project. So I want that children can go through that, listen to some music, listen to some strong story, but also understand differently what happens, because maybe we love to dance on soul music, jazz music, but somehow we forget where it's coming from and what is the whole journey that we all today pretend that we are open and love this jazz music and stuff, but we don't understand where it's coming from. Why is it like this? How those displaced communities had lived that we today can listen to their music and enjoy it. So, actually, in order to finish this small speech, do you know what's this? So, actually, I made some research, because early this year I was invited to have to TEDx talk in Cape Verde. And the theme was roots, Wurzeln. And I made some research and I found out that 99% of the plants on this earth cannot live without roots in the soil. Only one plant. And this plant is magic. This plant could transform the role of the roots in the soil through the leaves. The name of this plant is Tillandsias, and it's a very inspiring plant because it has, like, through the years, transformed the role of the roots into something else. It lives without roots. For me, it's a very inspiring plant because it's kind of remind us that we are all like kind of we can reinvent ourselves, and this is the case also for those displaced communities. They reinvented something. They really transcended their identity to something beautiful. So far I came to the end of my pitch. Thank you very much. If you have questions.
Thank you.
Small note on the end. He said earlier that he brought a prototype.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're able and willing to show us.
Yeah, for if people want to test it, I have a prototype with me. So outside, maybe. Yes?
Perfect. In this case, I think you meet each other outside in front of the room. If you have questions, there are two microphones. Please ask your questions and please speak out loud into the microphone directly. Number two, please.
Okay, thank you for your talk. I know from Brazil, but I think this is valid for the other locations too, that there are actually discussions that ceremonies like this, which are sacred, should not be easily accessible to outsiders, and especially to Europeans who come there usually as a tourist, mm-hmm. and see that as like cheap attraction, and then they go and go back to the resort or something. So how would you situate your project in those discussions, or did you take part in mm-hmm. them?
Okay, thank you for this question. Actually, it took me 1.5 years to find the right person and to work it out, to get into a Candomblé session. Exactly, they didn't want to reduce it to cheap entertainment, which is not the case. First of all, they were saying to me, what, you come from Europe, you want to just reduce our spirituality into an entertainment. And it took me a lot of time to really convince my local producer there, which is part of the family of Candomblé, that's not the case. I'm coming with a totally different concept. Of course, VR, it's a kind of golden gate you opened for that. And they're not like used to let everybody to those ceremonies and those rituals, especially in Brazil, where the social economic pressure and situation is really special, it's really harsh. So for them, Candomblé is kind of identity. It's us, you know? It's kind of, this is us and this is the other Brazil. So yes, it took me a long time to convince the people to establish trust and to really be there many times and to let them understand, look, it is a project that aims to connect those diasporic heritage. You know, I want to show this to maybe your brothers and sisters in India, in Morocco. And it worked out. So somehow VR, it's giving you as author also this question of ethic, because you don't frame something, you put the user inside a set. So, and for them, it's a kind of secret, you know? I don't know if some people of you have been in a Candomblé session. It is very powerful. Like when the drum's starting and going up and up and up and up, it's fantastic. I mean, it's a global euphoria that goes up. And for them, it's a way to be. It's a way to say, here we are. We don't forget. We are here. We celebrate. We cry. We laugh. And we live here and don't forget where we're coming from. So this magical gate that VR is opening, of course, it gives the hotel kind of responsibility somehow.
Thank you. Next question. Interwebs. Oh, nice. In this case, I have the opportunity. Sorry. Oh,
yes.
Set for me. Number two, please.
thank you for your talk. I would like to add a little bit to that.
Questions only, please.
Okay.
So, what's your question?
The question is, I can't do that. I need to add something because I think that some things are not presented right or just wrong. And Candomblé is not just anything, but it is a direct connection.
Okay, in this case, I will shift the discussion back to
well
the after the room. Can
yeah,
we have the next
this
question?
Is wrong, and this is okay. Shortened to something which cannot be shortened.
Okay, go ahead.
The Voodoo culture and the Candomblé and the Yoruba are directly connected and have a religious foundation. So this is just an addition about that. And also, there was something wrong in your talk. You said that there was the people who were deported to North America did not go through South America, but they also went directly there. They were transported directly there. So just those additions. And I would love to discuss with you this further and not to... and also, of course, everybody can ask me after that because I don't want to monopolize this.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, next question, please, number two.
Yeah, okay, it's a follow-up, but a follow-up question. So if your only aim were to connect the communities, why, how is the like free downloadable app then into that? So could you maybe elaborate on that entertainment part a little bit more, because I don't see that point fully treated by your answer. And the other question is there any profit in your project? And if yes, who gets that profit?
Okay. First of all, why an app? Because basically I want to share it with people. As simple as that. Profit, till now we don't have any profits. We produce a prototype after prototype with a company based in Berlin, which is in VR. So we got small money just to produce that and to make it in a good way and to explore VR, first of all, as a storytelling tool. So there is no no profit in that sense. I'm on this project since 2.5 years, so we got small like grants from cultural institutions to make research. But beyond that, I mean, the main purpose is not to make money out of this, basically. The main purpose is to distribute it, to shift somehow the conscience of people, to present this issue in a totally different way, but also to try to somehow engage a debate, you know, to unroot a narrative, which is in our really conscience still there. We see blacks as, you know, slaves, etc., etc. We don't have it easy to really decode what happened, you know, in terms of culture, in terms of anthropology. So this project is an attempt to that, is a trigger. So that's why we're here, we discuss about that. So till now we didn't like really have business plan for this project, but I would be very happy that people can see it, first of all. Yeah. Thank.
And number two again, please.
Yes, thank you, Selim, for this talk. And I'm just, you started with VR is a tool for anthropology, and then you referred to it again. Could you please elaborate a little bit more on this anthropology, how this plays a role in your project?
Yeah, so
I hope my question is clear enough to give you some
no problem
point for starting.
Yeah, so I think that the was part of your of the answer in the presentation. Like, VR is, I mean, I don't pretend to be, first of all, an expert on VR. Second of all, nobody can pretend to be an expert on VR. It's a very nascent, new tool, and everybody's like experimenting. Some good, some works are good, some works are consequent, some works are powerful, but some work are totally failures. So let's be honest about that. So nobody can pretend to be like having the magical formula to do the best VR piece ever. So, but I think personally that is a, it's a tool that can really or put us in a situation when we can really embrace the world in a totally different way. If you go back a little bit in the history and you see like the cinema that has been produced in the early 60s or 70s by Jean Rouch, for example, in Africa, which is a very honest work. He put in frame like the reality as it is from African living there. But I think that approach has been always kind of through the ethnologic approach, we had always built these pictures of Africa through other people's eyes. And VR is totally the opposite of that. It's just you put a camera and you disappear. You have a 360 degrees, things happen, you observe, then you look at the footage, you want to design it not or not is your choice, but basically the act of filming VR or capturing 360 content is very easy. It's very simple. It's just you put the user in the center of something. In that, under this perspective, I think it's a very powerful anthropology tool because anthropology is based on observation. So as simple as that.
Thank you. And I think I have the honor for the last question.
Okay.
Finally. You mentioned more modern arts or more modern, let's say, music projects. What are your upcoming projects, or what do you think is the technology like in 10 years for you? Blues, soul, I don't know.
You mean related to?
Related to your upcoming projects.
I'm still stuck in this project. And I think basically we are far from the end product or the output, but I'm very happy to see that people engage with that. I just came from another meeting, I told you, from Republika in Africa, and I realized that this project has, I identified two audiences. First of all, you have the African audiences, which for them, just to be in a ceremony is enough. It's fantastic, they freak out. It's exactly, you know, it's exactly what they're looking for in terms of memory and displacement. It's very enough. And you have the VR audience, people who would say, okay, what can I experience here? You know, I see people dancing around me and listening to music. Cool, I can dance, but what I'm expecting? And we are working on this part. We want to make feel the user how this music and this power of music can work on your conscience, can work on your brain activity, can engage you physically. And this is how we are working now with a music encode. We're coding music, we're analyzing the frequencies that it's producing through the combination of high frequencies and low frequencies, and that creates this space of trance. And of course, you cannot push a user directly into trance. Some people don't want this. So yes, the next step will be to elaborate this interactive ceremony. So you can really go deeper. We'll produce in CGI. The more the trance will go, the more you will see things happening. The more they will visualize the memories, the more you will see, you know, the belief, the spirits, whatever. And the more you will have this physical experience of being in a ritual. So this is the next step, basically.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you a lot.
A warm round of applause for Selim.
Thank you.
Thank you.